Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your written word, and we just look to you this morning, Lord, and ask that your Holy Spirit might be in our midst. Father, that as your servant brings your word, Lord, that it would go forth mightily. It would touch lives, it would change lives. And Father, those under the sound of your word would not leave here unchanged. Lord, we surrender now to you. We surrender to you, Jesus. Yes. And we ask your Holy Spirit to just lead and guide us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Renard, for reading scripture. And just to put it in context, I want to also read another scripture in Mark chapter 14, verse 66. And it says, now, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, now as Peter was below in the courtyard, and one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and then she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. A second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. This morning we are continuing in the series of A Fresh Start, and our pastor, Reggie, has done a remarkable job over the past 2 weeks as he introduced to us this topic. And last week, I believe we spoke about forgiving others and or receiving a fresh start through forgiving others, through letting go of the baggage, if you will. And so I'm trying to make the connection now for us. And today our topic is a fresh start through God's forgiveness. Fresh is something that is, I live daily, fresh. Why? Many of you know what I do. I work for a fruit company. Fresh is important. And in fact, so important that the company changed its name a few years ago to include the word fresh, as many as one other of its major competitor also did, to include the word fresh. Fresh suggests newness. Just come. And so fresh to us is very important. And then start, beginning, a new beginning for us is always important. And so we look at a new beginning, but a new beginning also involves change, and change sometimes is difficult. But we're all enthralled with the idea of a new beginning, especially if it's going to mean something better. So this morning our focus is on the Apostle Peter, or should I say Simon Peter. Peter, a name that the Lord Jesus gave him because of who he was. And I want us to see if we can identify some with Peter. And just to refresh our minds, Peter was a strong, and I emphasize that word, strong, self-reliant fisherman. He was bold. He was courageous. He was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, he was of the so-called inner circle. Peter, James, and John. So he was very near and dear to the Lord. But every truly great man or woman can point to a time in their life where a time of conflict, a time of pressure, or a time of decision transformed them from an ordinary piece of coal into a precious diamond. A precious diamond that is pliable in the master's hand, if you will. And we look in scripture, we see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, the prophet Jonah, even Job, and many of the other disciples, where they themselves also came under pressure and were transformed into amazing human beings. And Peter is no different. And if you look in scripture in the New Testament, there are many times Peter shows himself as being different in many ways. And sometimes he's described as being an impetuous guy, emotional guy, if you will, a guy with a lot of energy, but certainly, again, a man who's very confident in his strength, his own strength, and his own self-will. But he was also a man of great zeal. If you remember in the upper room the same night the Lord was arrested in the garden, Peter really showed this zeal. He told Jesus that if everyone else falls away, he would not. He also told him that he would never, never disown him, even if he had to die. Jesus also got up to wash Peter's feet, and Peter said, "Lord, you will never wash my feet." And Jesus then said, "You will have no part of me if I don't wash your feet." And Peter then replied, "Then wash my hands and my head as well." Sometimes Peter kind of missed the point. So that's Peter. And I read a passage where now he's under pressure. And what does he do? This Jesus that I told only a few moments ago that I'd die for you, now he's under pressure. What does he do? He buckles. He denies Christ, not once, not twice, three times. And on the third time, he becomes quite indignant about it. I absolutely don't know this guy, and I don't know the curse words he used, but I can imagine. Because he wanted to make emphasis. I don't know him. And so he denies Christ. But what happens immediately after that? Hearing the cock crow, Peter recognizes what he had done. He realizes the state he had fallen into. Can anybody here identify with that? How many times have we made a commitment to do some things and suddenly find ourselves doing the opposite? How many times have we said, "I'm never going to do that again," and find ourselves doing it again? And this is a joke, but I remember when we had our first child, Heather and I, and she was in the delivery room, and I saw the pain on her face, and she was screaming and yelling, and oh my God. And I said, "Honey, we'll never do this again." Well, we have four children. So at that time, I really meant it. Because I didn't want her to have to go through this again. But how quickly we forget. But when we turn to that passage that our brother read, and if you go back up into reading from one down, there's a scenery that's going on. The apostles, the disciples at the time, are out fishing. So the Lord, they had seen the Lord, the risen Jesus Christ. They had seen him before. And he had told them to go to Galilee and to wait for me. So they get there, and they do what? They get bored. they get bored, and they lose focus. And guess who says, let's go fishing? Guess who says that? Peter. Because I imagine that a lot of things was going on in his mind, and he just wants to forget that, what he had done. Let's go fishing, brothers. And so they go fishing, and they are fishing all night. And they catch nothing. And they see somebody on the seashore, and I'm giving you the quick synopsis of it here. And John says, I think that's the Lord. And Peter is excited. But the Lord tells them, brothers, did you catch anything? It's kind of a rhetorical question. No. We've been doing this all night. Cast your net on the other side of the boat, and you will catch fish. Notice he didn't say, you might catch some fish. He was quite emphatic, you will catch fish. And so they did. And Peter, hearing John said, that's the Lord. And now they have all this fish again. If you recall, Peter was the one early on who got out of the boat, walked on water, and suddenly realized what he was doing and took his eyes off the Lord, and he began to say, but here's the same Peter again. What does he do? He dashes out of the boat into the water again because he's running towards the Lord. And so my first point this morning, Cam, is that we can experience God's forgiveness because God comes to us at our place of need. Now, they were on the beach. They were out in the sea fishing, and the Lord Jesus Christ appeared there. They don't know when he came or how he came, but he was there. Luke 5:32 tells us, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I, the Lord, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So Jesus Christ came to them at the beach. And regardless of where you are in your life today, and you may feel like a Peter, you're in such a state, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is here to meet you at your need. Amen. And these men had need, and Peter even more so, because he was hurting because of what he had done. He couldn't forgive himself, really. And so Jesus meets them at their need. Now, this is about the morning time. You know, it's like the turning point comes early in the morning, perhaps symbolizing the dawning of spiritual light, a new day, a fresh start. And Jesus is described again as simply standing there without a description of his arrival on the spot. And so they get to the beach. Another miraculous thing occurs. They get to the beach and the Lord invites them to breakfast. Guess what? Fish is there already. Not only fish, bread's there. So he provides for them. I want to point out one other bit of symbolism right now, is that the Lord says to them, okay, come on for breakfast. By the way, bring the fish you have caught. Guess who dashes off by himself to bring all the fish that was just full? They said 153 large fishes. Guess who's bringing that by himself? Peter. Peter was just a guy with a ton of energy, confident in his own strength. And so he rushes off and he's dragging that fish up. Miracle is that even with that many fish and he's dragging it, the net didn't rip. The net didn't break. So Jesus was totally in control of the scene. Brothers and sisters, you might think you are so far from God that you're hopeless. Which you can never be too far gone. He comes to you so that you can know he has a way out for you. The scene moves now, and what does the Lord do? The Lord taps Peter. We need to have a conversation. We need to have a conversation, Peter. If you were Peter, what would you be saying? What would you be thinking?
Oh, man.
It's over now. I know sometimes I'm sitting in my office and, so at my company we're laying off right now. So I'm sitting in my office and my boss suddenly appears. Need to talk to you. And I'm thinking to myself, uh-oh. It's pink slip time. You know that fear we were talking about this morning? Suddenly fear comes over my heart. But still have a job. So Peter knows that he must deal with his past actions, right? Until the Lord Jesus Christ calls him over. And I want you to pay attention to how he does it. He calls him over. He doesn't confront him in front of the group. This is a private conversation between the Lord and Simon Peter. You know, sometimes we feel like if we see a brother or a sister doing something wrong, we feel like the whole crowd, the first time, is absolutely necessary. And I think Brother Reggie took us through that last week, of the progression of how you do that. And it is just like the Lord did it, took him one side, one-on-one. Right, Pastor? What the Lord calls Peter, and what does he do? He says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He asks a second time. And the third time he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Each time Peter answers in the affirmative. Now, notice three things here. The Lord does not condemn him. The Lord does not express disappointment. The Lord leads him to do what? Examine himself. So, God convicts us. He doesn't condemn us. He makes us examine where we are. He makes us look inside and see that we are sinners. And so Jesus does that to Peter. You know, sometimes we, and I'm a parent, I mentioned I have four kids. It's hard not to say, man, I'm so disappointed. When they have done something that you think is wrong, it's hard not to say, I'm so disappointed. But the Lord does not tell Peter that he's disappointed. You don't have to. And this morning, brothers and sisters, some of us feel that we have done, and we are in such a place that God's got to be so disappointed in me that I cannot face him. I cannot talk to him. I cannot even pray. There's nothing he doesn't know. Why? When Jesus met that woman at the well, you remember that story? Remember that message I preached a few months ago? It was the crowd around condemning her. But when Jesus challenged them, they walked away and he says, well, if they can't condemn you, I don't condemn you. He didn't condone her, but he led her to acknowledge that she was a sinner. And so he told her that she was forgiven and that she should go and sin no more. What's the difference between convict and condemned? Where's my lawyer friend? So I have to try and explain. Convict, I believe, means no hope. It's like, well, condemned means no hope. Means you're on your way to the electric chair to the gallows, if you will. Convict says, we can do what? We can rehabilitate you. You can change. You can appeal too. Good one, right? So the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of our sin because we can change. We are never too far gone. And then, thirdly, God accepts our confession. So if we are going to experience this forgiveness that Christ has for us, we've got to examine ourselves. We've got to come to terms with the fact of who we are, sinners, and we must confess this. And God accepts this confession. In 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What's the meaning of confession? It's to agree that I have a need, agree that I need Jesus. So you might say to me, so I'm reading a story about Peter. Where's the confession there? Where's the confession? Because Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me? And what did he say? Yes. Peter, do you love me? Yes, absolutely. Peter, do you love me? But Lord, you know I do. So as I looked into this, and I saw that there's a double meaning for love. Two different meanings. So Jesus was talking about agape love. Peter was responding phileo love. And there's a difference. There's a difference. And I'm going to try to explain what it is. And I'm sure Pastor Reggie will get up and correct me and help me out here. So when Jesus asked him, do you agape me, Peter? Two times. Jesus uses agape, but what he means is, do you love me affectionately, ardently, supremely, fully? It indicates a decision to, as an act of the will, an absolute commitment to Jesus. And two times Peter responded, I phileo you. What does that mean? It means to love, to like, to regard, to feel friendship for another. It is more of an emotional or feeling-based response. It's conditional. You know, there's a difference, and an inherent in the response is this confession, my brothers and sisters. I don't love you in the way you have required me to love you. I have not, to this point, placed my complete trust in you, is what Peter is saying. Adam Clark's commentary explains the essence of their conversation. Christ was asking, Peter, do you love me ardently and supremely? But Peter replied, Lord, I feel an affection for you. I do esteem you. So Peter's response, and you might say, well, Peter got up. He cut the ear of the guard off. But I want to suggest that his response was about the threat to losing what he believed Jesus represented, this cause. It wasn't so much about Jesus as it was about what Jesus represented. I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, that many of those 2 million people that were in the mall in Washington this year, Phileo Obama. And I guarantee you, the minute he begins to fail on some of those promises, you're going to see the Peter-like response. I guarantee it. So to draw an analogy, that's what I'm talking about. Our fickle feelings, that is conditional. It's a circumstance dependent. But the Lord wasn't talking about that. But I want us to see Peter's transition. And so, My fourth point is God responds to our changed mindset. In Acts 3:19, it says, now it's time to change your ways. Turn to face God so he can wipe away your sins. Pour out showers of blessings to refresh you. You know, the Lord said to him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said yes, but there was a mixed message. On the third time, Peter said, Lord, you know all things. So you are asking me, I know you know where I am. In that statement, it was Peter really confessing now that he had failed. Really agreeing with God, with Jesus, that he had failed. And he was at that point. And the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, was working with Peter, not condemning him, but having this conversation because he was causing his heart to change. Because Peter was coming to that point where he realized that, oh, I've been acting in my own strength. This passion that I thought of, I had was about my own confidence. And so Jesus brought him to that point of realization because the Lord had work for Peter to do. There's no condemnation for you, brothers and sisters. Regardless of what you have done. And some of us have done some really horrible things. And I say us, because I include myself. As Paul says, I'm chief of these. But Jesus is waiting so that he can bring us to a point of repentance, to a point of a changed heart. And we see Peter here changing his heart because now he's realizing that he had been acting on his own will and on his own strength. And now he's acknowledging, you, Jesus, are Lord, because you know all things. Amen. And Jesus said, each time he says, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. In other words, lead my people. Lead my people. Are you ready for a fresh start this morning, brothers and sisters? So Peter didn't realize it, that he needed a fresh start, but now he had come to terms with the fact that he needed a fresh start. And guess what? It was being offered to him even before he realized it. Think about Peter. This rough and tough guy. This guy who didn't have time to stop and think before he acted. Pure passion, pure emotion. Really, Peter is saying it's about me and what I can do. And so he confesses it's about Jesus. And he surrenders at that point. He surrenders to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where he begins now to experience the Lord's forgiveness. So Peter was hurt by the threefold asking of the Lord. But yet this is what Peter needed to get rid of his own pain. And after all, he had denied Jesus three times the days earlier. But this is what he needed to get rid of his own pain. And after each affirmation, Jesus instructs Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. In other words, lead. See, agape loves from which Peter was transitioning to now requires a measure of action and commitment and obedience. John 3 says, for God so, what, agape the world that he gave his only begotten son. It was an action, a commitment, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish. And Jesus was acting in obedience when he came to die on the cross of Calvary. That's agape love, brothers and sisters. And then the Lord goes through a discussion with Peter, and he says, because he was giving him a clear vision of what this transition was about. But you're going to get to a stage when you're going to be led and taken around, and you're going to be brought to where you don't want to go. And what that is about us coming into total dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Total surrender upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the fresh start, my brothers and sisters, is when we come to that place of receiving God's forgiveness, and now we are totally dependent upon him. So Peter, whom the Lord forgave, received a fresh start. Peter, he went on to become the apostle that would preach the first gospel sermon and have 3,000 converts. This same guy who denied Christ 3 times, who cursed, I don't know him, is the same guy who boldly got up, filled with the Holy Spirit, preached the first gospel sermon, 3,000 people received Christ. What a transformation. What a fresh start that Peter got that brought him to that place. Peter went on to baptize the first Gentile convert. And Peter was also is also a contributor to the Word of God. The same rough and tough, self-reliant, self-dependent guy was transformed into a man dependent upon Jesus. And Peter, a man who had feared death and denied Christ, went on to be a Christian martyr. Who would not deny Jesus ever again? Despite Peter's adversity, difficulties, and failure, Jesus turned his life completely around. Peter received a fresh start. What about you this morning, brothers and sisters? Are you ready for a fresh start this morning? You can receive it through Jesus Christ's forgiveness. He's here to meet you where you are. He's convicting you of your need of him. He's ready to accept your confession. He's ready to respond to your repentance or changed mindset. He's ready to restore you or give you a second chance. Are you ready for a fresh start? He's ready to change you and to bring you into full potential in him. I'm going to ask Pastor Reggie to come up and offer a pastoral prayer. For those who might seize the opportunity this morning to take a fresh start, those of you who might seize the opportunity to meet Christ here as he has come now, to give you a fresh start. Amen. Pastor.
Every eye closed, every head bowed. I would like the musicians to help me with something soft. God is a God of fresh starts. Now, sometimes we don't believe that. And God is reminding us yet again that it doesn't matter where we've been, what we've done. We fail God in so many ways, in thoughts, in words, in deeds, in things that we've done, and in things that we have left undone. the same Jesus who with loving kindness and eyes of compassion and arms stretched so wide towards Peter. It's the same Jesus who looks at you and looks at me today with love and compassion and is willing to embrace us. The challenge this morning was don't trust in yourself. Trust in Jesus. Ask Jesus to forgive you. And maybe you're here today and you've never prayed that prayer. You've never come to the crossroads of your spiritual journey to recognize that you need a Christ in your life. And if that is you, I want you to very silently there pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I am here. Forgive me. I have trusted in myself. I've trusted in my knowledge. I've trusted in my abilities. I have trusted in my wealth. I have trusted other things, but not you. And my life, as a result of that, is spiritually bankrupt. I am empty. I am lonely. And today I need you. So forgive me of my sin.
Yes, Lord.
Wash me, cleanse me this morning. Renew my heart and my soul. I want to be like you. Thank you for giving me life and for giving me a fresh start. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, please come see one of the pastors after the service. We would love to talk to you. For the rest of us, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you've made a way possible for us to come. To come, Lord, and just be ourselves in front of you without any pretense and without any show, Lord. You've asked us to come just like we are.
Yes, Lord.
Your word this morning, Lord, has truly spoken to our lives, and it has spoken to the fact that we need you. And Lord, sometimes we like Peter, we've walked with you, we've heard your voice, we've seen your great works, but at times, Lord, we have turned back and done our own thing. And I pray, Lord, that this day, as we come and we have confessed our faults and our sins before you, Lord, that you would forgive our sins and that you would cleanse us this day. I pray for each person here, Lord, and I pray that as we walk out of this room,
yes,
we would have a fresh start in our relationship with you, in our relationship with ourselves, in our relationship with other people, Lord, that we would really radiate the love and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ in everything we do. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Let's gonna stand together and sing a song of commitment to the Lord, asking the Lord to come and reign in me over every thought, over every